I was trying to think of a song that I would want us to sing one day, and I heard it, and I couldn't remember what it was. Remember I asked you, it might have been Never Alone. She's talking to her hubby. Remember I asked you if it was Never Alone that I was told about would be a good song? Never Alone, right? Yeah, put that on the agenda, brother. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, okay. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. We're going to talk about the baptism of Jesus. And we're going to ask a question. Why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? Can y'all hear me? Everybody hear me? Miss Linda, can you hear me? Okay. Why was Jesus baptized? He was not a sinner. He didn't need to make any kind of identification with Jesus, right? He was Jesus, right? He did not need to join a church. We know that baptism is the gateway into the local church because he formed the church, right? So why was Jesus baptized? Well, as you look at the four Gospels, you'll see two reasons why he was baptized, and they're on your screen there, to fulfill all righteousness and to authenticate his ministry. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's read our text tonight, just three verses. Now, again, I remind you that Mark is short and concise. He doesn't expound like all the gospel writers does. And he just hits us hard with these things and moves on. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, notice that, coming up out of the water, Jesus wasn't a Methodist, he was a Baptist, right? Coming straight out of the water, y'all know I was joking about that, and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming, I'm reading another text there. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, note these three things, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at why Christ was baptized, it also shows us why we are baptized as well in the full meaning of believer's baptism. And so speak to our hearts tonight in this doctrinal message, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why was Jesus baptized? Number one, verse 9, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, he was righteous. He didn't have to get any more righteous, but he had to fulfill the law, okay, so that he could fulfill it for us. I like what Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 15 says about this rendering here. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him and said, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John the Baptist consented, Matthew says. See, John, he knew what a lot of church members don't know today. He knew that Jesus was the spotless, holy, undefiled, unblemished Lamb of God. And how did Jesus exactly fulfill righteousness by his baptism? Well, let me give you three quick ones, and we'll move on to the second point. Number one, Jesus lived in perfect obedience to the will of the Father and thus submitted to John's baptism that God had authorized. Okay? If he was going to be our perfect Savior, he had to submit to the Father's will here that he be baptized. Number two, Jesus identified himself with sinners that he came to save. He came in human flesh. He became as we are to redeem us. That was necessary. We couldn't be redeemed by any other creature, any other angel. It had to be Jesus Christ, God, who came as a man and died in our place and fulfilled the law. He kept every aspect of the law as if it was us, because we were the creatures he was going to redeem. So he came to identify himself with sinners that he came to save. And part of that perfect obedience was his substitutionary death on the cross. So God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So the law required, God's perfect righteousness required that sin be punished. Payment for sin is death. And Jesus paid the debt in full. I love what was said on the cross. Jesus says, it is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. In the Roman world of that day, they'd give you a stamp when you paid your debt. And it said, paid in full. And so I think it's high time we start living like it's paid in full, don't you? Right? It's paid in full. There's nothing else you can add to it or take away from it. You can't subtract it. You can't tear it up. In heaven, it's paid in full. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12 says, he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. He was numbered with the sinners. He was numbered with the criminals, but yet he was not a criminal. He knew no sin. Jesus hung on a cross with sinners, but he was not a sinner. And I think of Judas the same way. The Bible says he was numbered with the apostles, but he was not a true apostle, right? But he was numbered with them, just as Jesus was numbered with the criminals on the cross of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus publicly identified himself with those that had no righteousness and had no hope of gaining righteousness. We would be in eternal hell. There was no hope for us, but the sinless, perfect Lamb of God submitted to baptism that was designed for you and I. And that's an amazing thought. There's a third reason why Jesus had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It was because Christian baptism looks back to the cross, right? When we go into the waters, when we were baptized, we're looking back to the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we're also looking at our death, burial, and resurrection. But when Jesus was baptized, he looked forward to the cross. You see what I'm saying? He was identifying it was necessary that he undergo Christian baptism because it spoke and pictured and foreshadowed his death on the cross. Okay? So that was necessary. So how did Jesus fulfill all righteousness? Number one, by perfect obedience. Number two, by identity with the sinners. And number three, his baptism pictured the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. The second reason why Jesus was baptized was not only to fulfill all righteousness, but if you look in verses 10 and 11, it was to give affirmation or authentication to his ministry. Now, look in verse 10 and 11 again of Mark. The Bible says, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now here you need to read it closely because you're going to miss something, okay? That's why we need to read the Bible clearly and distinctly. Every word, every comma, every period, right? And we need to read it like that. Mark focuses on three spectacular events that happened when Jesus came out of the water at his baptism. And we read them and you picked them out. They're pretty simple to look at. Number one, the heavens opened. Okay? This was just not seen by Jesus, but John and others that were around them. And the Greek word for open means to tear and rip apart. And I'm reminded of Revelation. The Bible says when Jesus comes, the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll when he comes. So the heavens opened. And then number two, it says that the Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. Now notice what John does not say. John does not say the Spirit is a dove, right? He says, because we got a lot of symbols today, a lot of Christian symbols and things that pictures the Holy Spirit as a dove. But he says the Spirit came down, descended, and lit on him. I think of Pentecost when the Spirit came down in a ball of fire, don't you? But here the Spirit came down. Let's read it again. Look at it again. Let's make sure we get this correctly here. And the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Didn't indwell him because he's already God, right? But he affirmed the mission that Jesus was about to partake. So how does a dove light? I know that as I watched them light in our pine trees, and Brother Jason probably knows probably as well or better than anybody in here because they do that. how does a dove light? He lights with gentleness. A dove comes down softly, making a soft landing on his perch, right? And that's how the Spirit came down. If you can picture it in your mind, as a dove coming down gently and lighting on Jesus Christ. Now we know the Holy Spirit is invisible, right? But the text says that he came down and he lit on Jesus. Now, why did he do that? The Son was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was God. He was all of God. He didn't need to be any more God. He certainly was God himself, God in three persons, each one God. But he was commissioned there. This was a sign from Jesus, who was the second person of the Trinity, standing there. And it was a sign from the third person of the Trinity that he was publicly commissioning him for his ministry. For 3 years, he would go and he would heal and he would teach and he'd preach. And he called 12. One was a devil. And he called these people to carry on his work after he was taken up. Someone said that this was a visible symbol of divine blessing, authentication, and empowerment. You say, well, how did Jesus need empowerment? He was God. Well, think about this with us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We got all the Spirit we're going to get, okay? What we need to do is surrender our body and our mind to God that can work through us and empower our ministry. You see what I'm saying? It's too many people running around today looking for something they already got. So this was authentication. This was blessing. This was empowerment. We get this from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So that's the second manifestation that came, spectacular supernatural manifestation. And then there's a third one that came, a voice from heaven, to authenticate his ministry, okay? This is my beloved Son, right? Look at it again, if you will, in verse 11, I believe it is, right? And there came a voice from heaven. What voice? Well, he tells us that this voice here is from another than God the Father, right? Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Voice from heaven. The Father here, along with the Spirit, along with Jesus, affirming that this is God's Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. And this voice came on the Mount of Transfiguration. It came here in the Passion Week. It came in his baptism first. All three times God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So I don't know how these people get off that say in the Gospels Jesus never claimed to be God. I just don't know it. But as I close tonight, I want to look at that phrase. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you see that? Thou art my beloved Son. We know we are the beloved, right? God has bestowed his love on us, right? And the beloved is Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1. But he says, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I said, well, let me break that down. What does that mean, that Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? Well, number one, God the Father testified personally that Jesus was his Son, okay? The only begotten of the Father. John 3:16, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So this is the central message of the gospel. If Jesus is not God's Son, we're in our sins, right? So that's central to the gospel message. And Jesus is the beloved by the Father in a deep, eternal relationship. They always existed together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're co-eternal, co-equal, and co-existent, right? Jesus didn't become God. He always was God, right? And so they have this special, beloved Father between the Son and a deep, eternal relationship. But notice also something in that text there. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus accomplished everything the Father had sent him to do. He didn't sin. He did everything just like the Father wanted him to do it. Okay? And he says, I am well pleased. If he had not been well pleased, we would not have any redemption. We would not have a sacrifice. We would not have a substitute, right? He says, in him I am well pleased. You know, I fall out with these people and these movies that kind of make Jesus being, you know, you've seen the old movie, I forgot the name of it, might have been The Robe, where Jesus kills a little bird, you know. Jesus never killed a bird, right? And they make these movies up and make him look like Jesus, making look like, see, if we can't be like God, they want to bring God down to us, right? And so that's what they do. He was well pleased. He was sinless. So why was Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness and to authenticate his ministry, okay? Let's close with a word of prayer. No invitation tonight. Father, we thank you that Christ fulfilled all righteousness